Good morning, everyone. Thanks for making the trip into the bowels of the basement here to come and hear this presentation today. I have nothing to disclose, and I'd like to quickly thank the multiple members of the research team that worked on this project, one of whom is in the room, Dr. Chia. Thanks so much. And this project was funded by a grant from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. So to provide a little background, nursing home residents are the most frail and the most vulnerable of the elderly population, and dementia is common. Atypical antipsychotics are often used to treat challenging behaviors in nursing home residents with dementia. Evidence demonstrates that there's minimal benefit and increased risk of this off-label use. Yes? Let me describe that to you then. The definitions of atypical antipsychotic is a second generation antipsychotic, which were believed to have lesser effects than the regular first generation antipsychotics. So they were developed as an avenue to decrease symptoms of Parkinsonian type symptoms of tremors and extrapyramidal effects. And off-label use is using a medication for an indication for which it was not originally developed. So an antipsychotic being used to treat challenging behaviors in a dementia patient is an example of an off-label use. Thank you for bringing that to my attention to describe. So evidence demonstrates that there's minimal benefit and increased risk. There's been black box warnings regarding atypical antipsychotics issued by the FDA. Nursing homes, as some of you may know, are very challenging environments in which to disseminate any type of evidence-based information, and the optimal strategy for disseminating that information is unclear. So the objective of our study was to describe the impact of a low intensity, a moderate intensity, and a high intensity educational dissemination effort regarding atypical antipsychotics and dementia in 43 nursing homes in Connecticut. So 43 nursing homes were randomized to one of three arms receiving incrementally intensive dissemination strategies. Our least intensive strategy was targeted to arm one. 14 of the nursing homes received a toolkit that we developed based on a needs assessment of these nursing homes and three emails linking to an online version of our toolkit. The toolkit included information about patient-centered behavior management strategies, prescribing best practices, a summary of the evidence regarding atypical antipsychotics, and strategies on how to make change happen within an organization. Our moderately intensive strategy was targeted to the Arm 2 homes. In addition to the toolkit and three emails, 15 nursing homes received quarterly audit and feedback reports with their nursing homes' atypical antipsychotic prescribing rates, as well as state and national levels to compare them to. The audit and feedback report also included a link to our online toolkit and gave some basic summary information about the risks of antipsychotics and the evidence regarding their efficacy. Arm 3 received our most intensive strategy. In addition to the previous materials mentioned, the toolkit, the email links, the audit and feedback reports quarterly, we visited these 14 nursing homes and did face-to-face academic detailing with leadership and educational visits with the staff. So the nursing homes were visited by a two-person team of a pharmacist and a nurse educator. The pharmacist met with the director of nursing, the administrator, and the medical director. She discussed key messages from the toolkit, and she elicited commitment statements from the leaders regarding how they would implement information from the toolkit into the practice of the nursing home. The staff received a formal educational presentation. There were two different presentations. one targeted for CNAs, or medical assistants, and one targeted to licensed staff, RNs and LPNs. These are the people who actually administer medications in the nursing home. The educational material was tailored to those two groups. Nurses and LPNs received information about atypical antipsychotics, the risks and benefits. They were instructed about just asking why a person was on this medication. They looked at a video called Look at Me, which was developed by the Veterans Administration, which depicts the life of a man with Alzheimer's living within a nursing home. The CNAs received information about dementia and about treatment for, about challenging behaviors in dementia and how to approach patients. The message we tried to give them was just ask why the individual is acting this way. What are they trying to tell you? They're trying to communicate something to you, but they can't use the proper or right words that are easy for you to understand. We assessed reach of the toolkit using on-site interviews, very short, brief, five-minute interviews, with leadership and direct care staff 6 months after our dissemination activities. We assessed familiarity with the toolkit and the perception that the staff had about the toolkit, what was useful, what did they use, if they used it, and what we could improve on. A secondary outcome that we had was to assess online toolkit use based on Google Analytics 12 months after our dissemination activities. Our target was to reach two leaders from each home and seven direct care staff at each home, two licensed staff and five CNAs. We were able to achieve 80 leadership interviews and 222 direct care staff interviews. As you can see from this bar graph, the first set of bars on the left are arm one, our toolkit only dissemination. We looked at this by respondent. So the CNAs are the grayish brown group, the light brown are LPNs, the dark brown are RNs, and the bluish color is leadership. The middle set of bar graphs are for arm two, our more intensive strategy that included the audit and feedback reports, and the bar graphs to the right are the most intensive strategy, which included our on-site visits. So all staff in the most intensive strategy were more likely to be familiar with the toolkit than those in the least intensive strategy and the moderately intensive strategy. And leaders and direct care staff, when they were familiar with the toolkit, identified the patient-centered behavior management section of the toolkit as most useful. Our secondary outcome was regarding the online toolkit. And we measured a nursing home, so the measurement here is by nursing home. What percentage of nursing homes in each arm looked at the toolkit online? So the bar graph to the left represents our least intensive and moving to the right, our most intensive. And you can see there's really not much of a difference, and it wasn't statistically significant. So using an online toolkit did not appear to be very effective. So not surprisingly, perhaps, but the intensive dissemination activities using a multi-pronged approach, including academic detailing and direct care staff trainings, was associated with greater familiarity of the staff with our toolkit in the nursing home setting. The next steps that we'd like to take is to evaluate the effectiveness of the toolkit and these dissemination strategies on facility-level changes in the use of atypical antipsychotics. This QR you can scan and go to our online toolkit. And the link at the bottom here is to a success story of one of our nursing homes. They actually went to a culture change conference in Connecticut and shared how they implemented the toolkit, the effect of our training on their staff, and changes that they've made that have been measurable in decreasing antipsychotics at their nursing home. We like to use them sort of as the model of how do you implement change and how do you take resources provided by an academic institution and implement them in a nursing home setting. Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. randomly picked up?
They were randomized. So, yes. So the question was, is she wanted to know if the three arms were randomized, and I think that's in my method side. So we did randomize them to one of three arms to receive the intervention. Was there another question that you had? That's a great question, too. So we started this project prior to CMS publicly reporting antipsychotics. And the way we were reporting antipsychotics to the nursing homes was slightly different than the way that CMS does it. We actually had received prescribing data from the pharmacies that were supplying the medications to these nursing homes. And we were only looking at atypical antipsychotics, and we were only looking at individuals with dementia. So we were able to give a pretty accurate description of who was on these antipsychotics. In fact, we had to change our audit and feedback report halfway through the project to explain the differences between our reporting and CMS's reporting. We had a frequently asked question on the back of the audit and feedback report and said, here's what we're telling you, here's where we're getting our information. CMS is getting it from a different place, they're reporting it in a different way, so the numbers may not line up exactly. But we started this project prior to that, but I think it's going to impact some of our outcomes. When you're trying to look at change in antipsychotic prescribing, there's a lot of drivers right now going on, and so we can't say definitively our paper toolkit made a difference in antipsychotic prescribing, but anecdotally, in speaking to the staff when we interviewed them, the people who knew about the toolkit knew about the toolkit. They could show us a section in it that they used, the behavior management section, which was also surprising to us. We thought, you work in a nursing home, you must know every strategy there is for dealing with patients with dementia. Evidently not. So, we feel that doing the needs assessment and having them tell us that that was something they really wanted and putting it in the toolkit met their needs in a way that if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't have known about. We would have just converted information, evidence-based information, into a format that was easily understandable for the nursing home and not really addressed what they thought they needed most. So, yeah. That's a great question, too. We've actually heard that in some of the interviews that we did, that both typical and atypical antipsychotics are now under review by CMS, so any antipsychotics. It's not just atypicals. There's warnings on both for the elderly patients because there's an increased risk of death and stroke when you use these medications, and there's no real benefit. They haven't been able to demonstrate huge benefit. There's a minimal slight benefit sometimes to behavior, but there's other ways that are better to dealing with behavior. So there has been sedatives sometimes being used, antidepressants sometimes being used. So we are hearing that anecdotally from people. I don't know if CMS is going to track that to see. This is ARC's. When ARC first put out this call, there, it's called iADAPT was the project, and they wanted us to take their comparative effectiveness review summary guide that they developed in 2004 and adapt it to the nursing home setting. So that was the primary goal of the project, was to disseminate information in a way that nursing homes could use it. I mean, this information had come out in 2004 with black box warnings, and no nursing homes had really incorporated that information and made changes in their atypical antipsychotic prescribing. So that was the goal of the project to start with, and that's what we stuck with. But since that time, since we started the project, normal, regular antipsychotics have also come under fire and had black box warnings. So that's a great point as well. Yes, because I think that the problem in the nursing home, and having visited almost all of these nursing homes and spent time in them doing observations, I think that nursing homes, unfortunately, are hugely understaffed. And there's a culture and a belief that there's nothing else they can do except medicate a person. And if you're dealing with someone who is a risk to themselves or others, or is taking away resources from others, giving them a pill seems like a great fix to the nursing home staff. And they're not doing it because they don't care about the residents. It's a lack of understanding. So I think that the solution is, if we could invest the resources, instead of into drugs, into people and training for those people, that it would solve the problem rather than just saying, here's information. You know, it's very hard to do academic detailing when there's no alternative for them to give the patient as a pill. That's what drug companies do, is say, instead of doing this drug, do this drug because it's better. We had to say, instead of doing this drug, do behavior management and spend time with the patient and talk to the patient and find out why they're acting this way and ask why they're on the medication. So it's a much more challenging sell to the nursing home. And the fact that we had some success, to me, is very enlightening. And showing that video, the Look at Me video, if you have an opportunity to, when you go to the toolkit, to look at it, it's a very short video. It's very poignant. We had staff, a hardened staff, who were arguing with us about the benefits of antipsychotics, look at that video and cry. And, you know, they forget. You're working in the trenches day after day, and you forget you're dealing with human beings sometimes. And it's not that they're not caring people. It's a very difficult and unrewarding, underpaid, understaffed situation.
I reserve the right to ask my question. Can you tell us a little bit more about that third arm? So how long, because that seems like to be the most active part of your intervention. How long was it? How frequent was it? Over what period of time?
It was a one-time dissemination strategy with academic detailing. We spent between 2 to 3 hours in the nursing home during that visit. We met one-on-one with the leadership. We had a trained pharmacist who came with us, who was trained in academic detailing. She came with us to do that one-on-one training with the leadership. There was a half an hour presentation to licensed staff and a half hour presentation to CNAs. All were welcome to attend. We did have other staff attend, social service, recreation therapy. The business office often sent people to view the training as well. We stayed afterwards to discuss things with people if they had questions. We did a follow-up call. Sometimes the medical directors, for those of you who are familiar with nursing homes, medical directors aren't often in the home. So when we were able to meet face-to-face with medical directors for academic detailing, we did. When we were not able to, a phone call was made, they were mailed the materials, and academic detailing occurred over the phone. We did have a few medical directors refuse. It was very time-consuming.
That sounds like a wonderful study. Thank you. I can't wait to hear the next results about the next outcome.
Thank you.